Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
At the end of the day, I'm just a big chimpanzee because when I see my face, I smile. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Today is February 9th, 2021, and we have a great show planned for you today. You know, creatine may very well be the most studied ergogenic sports supplement in the world, and my guest will be able to correct me if I'm wrong. Its ability to increase muscles' ability to work longer and harder has been well documented. It also imparts almost immediate gains in muscle size. We'll discuss that phenomenon and why that happens. It turns out that creatine does a lot of other amazing things for health and longevity that, you know, while not as sexy, may actually be much more important than your vain desire to be more muscular. But regardless of why you use creatine, the takeaway of today's show will definitely be that you should be using creatine all the time. And before we get started, of course, I have to thank our title sponsor, and that is Legendary Foods. Legendary Foods just introduced a brand new tasty pastry. It's flakier and puffier, kind of like apple turnover type. Pastry than the original Tasty Pastry, which is more like a hard Pop-Tart. And their new red velvet flavor it's not staying on the shelves long, folks. So you need to get on this if you want to try it. 5 grams of net carbs, zero sugar, 20 grams of high leucine, high quality protein, and a taste that will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. If you can imagine that in the voice of Elisa Profumo, it's much more effective. Use the code SHR10, go to shrnetwork.biz/legendary and show them some love. They are our title sponsor. Now, if you don't want to buy them, then win them. We're giving away a lot. We're giving away more than 2 boxes a day right now. Your odds are very good to win a box of Tasty Pastries. You will probably get either the birthday cake flavor or the red velvet cake flavor. All you have to do is listen during the commercial break. There's a secret word in my voice, hidden between commercial spots. When you hear it, write it down into an email, send it to onair@superhumanradio.net, and you are entered to win your own box of Tasty Pastries. So don't wait another second. Listen hard during the commercial break. And without further delay, I'll bring my guest on. He's a returning guest to the show, and a guy that I sit down and talk with Will Brink for 10 seconds, and I'm like, man, I got to have this guy on the show more often. We share a common bond because we're both from Brooklyn. We both love physical culture. Brooklyn. And also, we both had interesting pasts. At the end of today's show, after we're done talking about creatine, we're going to talk about something that's a little less known about Will Brink. I'm not going to share what it is yet, so you're going to have to tune in and stay with us. So, Will, I am nominating you as the official patron saint of creatine. Because no one has studied creatine more, written about creatine more than you, I believe. So I commend
you. I will say I think you're accurate. I'm generally a pretty humble guy, but I have to give myself the credit there. Yes, I really was the first person to publish articles in the magazines and stuff about the non-exercise uses of creatine, the medical uses, the anti-aging uses, the longevity uses, which, you know, every time I think I've learned all there is to know about creatine, It just comes up with some new study will come out and blow me away in an area I didn't even think it could have a benefit. And this has been going on for about 30 years. I mean, when I was writing about the benefits of creatine, you know, there was no internet. You know, I know a lot of younger people watching this don't actually remember there was a time minus internet. Remember those? Yeah. Remember those days?
Yeah.
But there was a time without internet. So, I've been writing about the benefits of creatine specifically, like they say, the non-athletic parts, the anti-aging benefits, the brain, you know, the brain parts, the mood parts. And like I say, I just today, I mean, I was reading three new studies that just blew my mind. I keep thinking if there's anything you know new to learn, I know it by now, or there's nothing new under the sun. It just it goes on and on and on. And one of the frustrating things about creatine, for me at least, having been in this game a long time, is it's an old supplement. You'll talk to somebody, average person, you say, what do you, how about creatine? Oh, I know all about creatine. It, it's good for the, I use it when I work out, it's good stuff. And that immediately tells me they don't know shit about creatine.
Right.
And
right.
Because it's been around a long time, everybody just, oh, creatine, I know all about creatine. And the reality is they don't. I'm actually always blown away by the number of people, even, who use it or use supplements or in the gym, who know so little about the benefits of creatine. I mean, of course, we expect the average person on the street not to know a thing about it. It's according to them, it's a steroid that's bad for your liver, right?
Right.
Or your average doctor doesn't really know much about creatine. But I'm always amazed by the percentage of people who are in the gym or into health, into eating well, who still really don't know much about creatine. That part sort of always kind of blows me away.
So let's start with the remedial stuff for just a second. We're just kind of going to do the Reader's Digest version of this. First of all, creatine, is it considered a non-essential amino acid because it's built by other amino acids?
It's not even considered an amino acid in the classic sense. It's usually listed as an amino acid derivative or an amino acid-like compound.
Okay.
It sort of floats in this odd spot, but it's not technically an amino acid because, again, it's a combination of three amino acids.
Okay. So with that being said, wow, I guess it could be a short protein peptide if you want to think of it that way. No.
Yeah, I don't know if it's even long enough. Yeah, I mean,
They have some three peptide, some.
They do, but it's not the way the way those amino acids are modified. They're not just amino acids connected by a peptide bond.
A bond. Okay.
So they're not. They wouldn't be a tripeptide. Is what
okay.
you're
learning. Excellent.
It's a new molecule altogether. Is what I'm trying to say.
So the benefits from an ergogenic standpoint is that the available of muscle creatine helps to recycle ATP so that you can train longer, get a couple extra reps, even be a little bit stronger. Am I correct with that?
Yeah. That's the basic under the hood premise. There might be more to it. I mean, one of the interesting things, of course, is I think you had mentioned earlier, is there is, intracellular water. But it's interesting that the hydration state of the cell is an anabolic signal onto itself. And it makes terms of sense, right? You've got a dehydrated cell. It's not going to be turning on protein synthesis, trying to survive, right? If a cell is well hydrated, it is actually an anabolic signal to turn on. So this is why you will put on like weight with creatine early on, right? You might put on a K, 3-4 pounds early on, and people like to say, oh, it's just water weight. Well, it's intracellular water weight, aren't they? It's not water retention, right?
Right.
And what happens is that then goes on to be its own anabolic signal to the cell. And so there's a short-term gain, right? And then there is a longer-term effect where you are turning on the machinery and the protein synthetic stuff. Of course, if you got to give it a stimulus, of course, and lift some weights and all that other good stuff. But
right.
So there's a sort of a multi-prong effect that goes on with creatine besides just that early water weight.
I want to get Carlo Capone's comment up here again. He likes creatine HCL. Is there any evidence that any of these other modified forms of creatine are any better than creatine monohydrate?
Not a damn bit.
So whichever one you like taking it, just take it. That's it.
Well, no, I'm going to be a little harder on this.
Okay.
There's a gazillion of them out there ranging from probably no better, but no harm done. If you prefer, do you want to spend the money to a bunch of garbage, complete nonsense? It is less value to creatine. Creatine monohydrate is the one with all the data. Period. HCL, for example, I think looks interesting. It again has very minimal data. The one study that was done again showed it was not superior in any way. It is of course it is considerably more expensive. So again, milligram for milligram, which should you take? Creatine hydrochloride at least does not look like a scam. So if you like it and you don't mind spending the money, go ahead. But there's a long list of them that are straight up bullshit scams that you really are wasting money. And I have an article on the Brink Zone called "The Creatine Graveyard," where I say that this bullshit creatines go to die. So if anybody wants to go read up, I have a whole list of the ones that I say are maybe worth using. probably not worth using and so forth. But to date, for the most part, there's no reason. Creatine monohydrate is dirt cheap. It's got all the safety data. It's got all the benefit data. And there really isn't – I haven't seen any yet, any reason to use anything else. You know, until somebody comes up – you know, there's no – here's the thing about creatine, right? It's a commodity at this point. It's so cheap, there's really no profit margins on it in any real sense of the – so what companies, you know, need to do, understandably, is look for something else that, you know, sounds wondrous.
Sexier.
And amazing and new.
Sexier.
And cutting it.
Right.
And, so charge a bunch for it. Creatine really doesn't have any – the only real drawback to monohydrate is just not very soluble. That is, the Achilles heel of creatine monohydrates is poor solubility. And so something like hydrochloride has better solubility. But again, from an absorption standpoint, what I tell people to do is, again, it's something I started doing, telling people 20 years ago or so, is just pre-dissolve it in hot liquids.
Yeah, coffee. Coffee.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I got to correct somebody. So Robert Thompson is a big fan of yours, and he said bomb-proof coffee, yes, but the reality is that the name has changed. And I'm going to put the website up here because it'll be available for sale very shortly, alphajoecoffee.com. Takes your coffee to an 11. How do you like that?
I'm having some scale. Right here.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. That's the new product, and that's where you'll be able to get it very shortly. He's waiting for a shipment of creatine, of all things, so that they can fire up the press and produce the product.
Yeah. And the other, of course, topic we could get into a little bit is talking about the sources of creatine monohydrate. I mean, there's only two places left in the world where creatine monohydrate is made, and that's China and Germany. And, you know, back in the day, again, there was a bunch of manufacturers. There was Fanstiel, and there was one at Italy, and there was some American. But over time, basically, the Chinese have put everybody out of the business.
It's a commodity item. You can't make any money on creatine monohydrate. That's the beauty of it. Walter Ebden said, you know, plus it's cheap as dirt. He's absolutely right. But it works. It works magically. I've taken creatine for probably over 20 years. I take off every now and then kick it back in. So, before we start talking about some of the science you've blogged about, and I'll get to everybody else's comments. Everybody wants to talk to Will, so sit tight. I'll make sure all of you get a minute. Those of you who are listening to the show that are vegans or no vegans, this is a really, really, really important show for you. Because if you're vegan, you get zero creatine in your diet. None. The only sources of creatine are animal sources. And correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Tuna and pork, top of the list for creatine per pound of muscle meat. Beef is in there. Turkey's in there. But tuna and pork have the highest levels of creatine in muscle meat.
No, it's not tuna. Of course, I'm going to... I'm forgetting the fish. Maybe somebody watching this will remember. The problem is it's a really terrible tasting fish that nobody would want to eat every day.
Right.
And of course I'm blanking on. But it's not tuna. It's a different fish.
Okay.
It's a really smelly fish.
Right.
But yeah. But yeah. It as far as dietary is concerned, it comes from animal. You can make it yourself, of course. Otherwise, if you're reliant on it completely from your diet, you'd die. So you can produce it yourself. But as you said, vegans are notoriously low in tissue creatine levels. I don't know what the cause is, but a lot of people don't like to talk about this in the vegan world, but there's also a lot of studies showing that vegans, vegetarians, but vegans especially, suffer from a lot more mood disorders, depression, and so forth. Now, chicken or the egg, we don't know. However, there is also really good data showing that creatine levels are correlated with mood and depression. And I also have articles and studies about that on BrinkZone. And there are actual studies feeding people creatine, and you know they do find benefits in mood. So is that one reason that vegans and vegetarians have greater levels?
I would say it's one of because there's a lot of things. Yeah. There's a lot of nutrient deficiencies if you're a vegan and you're not supplementing. But
exactly.
But this is one.
I'm wondering if that's one of them. At least. Yeah.
This
magnesium.
B12,
fatty acids, B12, carnosine. Yeah, it goes on and on.
And now the vegans will argue with you. No, we get omega 3 fatty acids and linolenic. No, the only the triglyceride bound from fish are actually the ones that work. Just for the record, just so you know.
Right. Well, but the other problem, of course, is the conversion rates of linoleic acid, LNA and LA, are very, very poor. They're like 1-2%.
Right.
Women are a little better. As you get older, it gets worse, and yada yada yada. So yeah, it's. You'd have to eat a lot of LNA and stuff to get a high amount of actual fish oils, quote unquote fish oils. I mean, we call them fish oils, but they're DHA and EPA basically. Right. So they're the dehydrogenated version of LNA.
So let's start off with one of your articles that the title intrigued everybody who looked at it. It was about a baby was saved by using creatine monohydrate. Talk about
it. Yeah. That's an absolute fact, man. I know it sounds like melodramatic.
Yeah, it sounds like something you see on the Mirror or the Inquirer, right?
Or the kid fell out of the tree and you say, you know, the fireman caught him.
Right.
But no, legit. So there's something called it's an internal genetic problem where, for example, it's mistaken as cerebral palsy. So there's genetic deficiencies that kids are tested for. Unfortunately, this one is not. I don't know why, but it should be. And it's a genetic deficiency where the kid is genetically missing an enzyme to produce creatine. It's that simple. And it's misdiagnosed as cerebral palsy, which is a horrible, you know, here's something that can completely cure this kid. It's called an internal error of metabolism. And it's a simple test. It's one that should be added in with all the other tests that they have for, you know, for infants that come out just to make sure they don't have it. It's not that common. But, I mean, imagine, you know, you got some kid who gets diagnosed as cerebral palsy who's going to have a miserable life, and he can be saved. I mean, he can be saved by a dirt cheap supplement. So, yeah, legitimately, kids can be and are saved by a simple test that tests for this genetic deficiency where they can produce creatine. And if they have it, all they got to do is feed them creatine, you know, effing miraculous cure, you know, done.
Right.
And that's about as perfect a scenario as you can ask for, right?
And talk about it. This is basically a nutrient deficiency. So it just goes to show you how important creatine actually is.
Yeah. Well, creatine, I mean, again, for brain function, for especially young brains, but for brain function, no creatine, you're going to die. I mean, basically it looks like cerebral palsy and the kid dies a miserable, slow death because his brain cannot produce creatine. So the second part of that article was a paper. When we started, I was saying we just had some papers just came out that I – really amazed me. And one that just came out was actually found that creatine status is also correlated with fertility in women, the quality of birth, that is the birth problems coming out of the for the baby. There's something called hypoxia. What happens is the baby's brain gets starved for oxygen under certain conditions, and the creatine levels, because creatine is very neuroprotective, especially in hypoxic states. Creatine is again associated with a successful birth and a kid without brain damage. So even pre-birth, you know, not only does it save babies that are alive that may have this genetic deficiency, it could also be of great value to both women and unborn kids and a healthy, successful birth. So that was a paper that just came out, which what I tend to do is I'll take like an older post and update it versus writing a new one.
Right.
So I like to just thought the creatine saves baby one I updated. That was an older one, which I updated with that new paper. Okay. That's how I sort of like to just build them up. So yeah,
talking about neuroprotection. So my mom, when she was alive, she had a stroke. This was about, I think I was doing the show already. So it was about 15, 16 years ago, maybe around there.
Yeah.
And I went out to take care of her. She couldn't talk. You know, she had some a facial paralysis that was typical of a stroke. And I had found a really good study that showed that taking creatine monohydrate at 2.5 to 5 grams a day helped resolve a stroke faster.
Yeah, it would make sense.
I went to her neurologist and I said, can I do this? He said, sure. And I just,
oh, did he? Wow,
yeah.
Good day.
Yeah, no. He was. I mean, I walked in with the study. I walked in with the study.
Right. A lot of times they just won't do it.
Yeah, and I gave her a protein drink every day, and I put two and a half grams of creatine in it twice a day, and she came back from that stroke faster than she would have. And he said that she had no symptoms after that, after the stroke. It all went away. And he said it to me. He said, you know, I really think that creatine did something for her, because she was already in her late 70s at this point in time.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. I mean, because you would believe how many people I get contacted by that say, you know, say, so when my mother had a stroke, I'd like to give her creatine, or my kid had a TBI in football, I'd like to give him creatine. And doctor says, no. Doc, you know, and I say, look, take these studies and show them, and they still say no. And to this day, we're talking 2021. We're not talking 15 years ago. And it happens all the time. It just blows my mind, you know. So I'm glad. It's wonderful that your, at least, you know, neurologist was open to it, because
most of them just say no. Well, that's what Robert Thompson is saying. He said, my cardiologist advised me against taking creatine and all supplements just because. So,
Because he didn't learn anything about them in medical school.
Right. Accountants right. and doctors will say no to cover their ass. Because if they say yes, there's potential liability. If they say no, there's no liability.
And attorneys.
He said, naturopath scheduled a renal consult just because I was taking creatine.
Right.
And he does go on to say his bun levels were elevated, but she knows I take creatine. Would creatine have any effect on bun levels? I didn't think it would.
No, not yet. Creatine would affect creatinine levels.
Creatinine, right, right.
The bun levels may be more likely elevated by higher protein diets and weightlifting, along with LDH, I believe. They keep changing the name of these, damn it. The reason I'm guessing is they keep changing the name of these liver enzymes. But I believe it's LDH is another one that can be raised by a resistance training. And I have not seen any studies with bun.
And just for the record, anybody who's worried about getting rhabdomyolysis. Creatinine is not an indicator of rhabdo. Myoglobin is. And doctors don't know this. And they'll see your creatinine levels getting high and they'll say, oh, you know, you're a weightlifter. You're going to get rhabdo. And they need to look at myoglobin. Creatinine has nothing to do with rhabdo. And doctors don't know this. And it's really sad because there's a lot of guys that are telling, hey, no more creatine, no more working out, because you're on the borderline of getting rhabdo, and the reality is you're not. So you tell your doctor.
There's a lot of enzymes. You'd have to do enzyme. You'd have to look at enzymes for rhabdo. But even creatinine is not even an indicator of kidney failure.
Right.
Which again, you'd expect most doctors would know that, but it's not. Now, of course, you wouldn't want to ignore high creatinine level. I would never tell anyone just to screw it. You know, ignore it.
Yeah.
Always, you know, if there's about 10% of people that can get elevated creatinine from creatine. And what I always tell them to do is just take a few weeks off, hydrate, and get retested, and it always comes back normal. I've never had one person come back that was still high. If it still comes back high, then you should definitely go and see what's going on.
Something else is going on.
And get a GFR test and all that. But high creatinine level is not an indicator of kidney damage or kidney failure or anything like that.
Gerard Falzo says herring. Was that the fish you were thinking about?
Yes, that's herring. Thank you. Yes, herring.
I love herring.
Do you? Oh, my God.
Well, my father used to get the Vita herring. It's like in a cream sauce. It's delicious. Right. Matter of fact,
my grandmother used to get the pickled herring, which I
– Yeah, I love that too. That was great. Around the holidays, they would have that stuff out. I love that stuff.
That was not one of my favorites.
So homocysteine is a independent marker for atherosclerosis. It's an inflammatory marker. And I read once, and you correct me now, I'm asking you this question. Mm-hmm. I read once that if you take creatine, your homocysteine levels go down because homocysteine is actually produced when your body makes creatine out of these other amino acids.
Yes. Creatine can drop homocysteine dramatically. Higher homocysteine levels are an indicator of poor methylation, a lack of methyl groups. And creatine, the production of creatine in the body is the most intensive use of methyl groups that you have. So if you're taking creatine externally, you free up all these methyl groups to go do all these other beneficial things. So yeah, homocysteine actually is usually an indicator of methylation. Methylation, again, has been shown, recent data has been shown to be a completely indicator or correlated with aging. How well you methylate things is a very key part of aging. Whether your body's has to methylate. Methylation is a big deal, B12. But it's become right up there with a lot of other aging indicators, whether you're properly methylating. So, yeah, you can lower homocysteine quite dramatically.
And if you do that, then the liver has the ability to use those resources to do other things.
Yeah. Now you've free up all these methyl groups that normally would have been used to produce creatine because you have to go through guanidinic acid. I think I'm pronouncing it.
Right.
That's the precursor to creatine. You attach a methyl group, you get creatine. So if you don't have to make that step, you're freeing up all these methyl groups to go do all these wonderful anti-aging things, or at least aging supportive things. So yeah.
Are there any other things that can enhance methylation? Are there donors to the methyl groups that you could take? Like, I know methylcobalamin is supposed to be better because it's already methylated, so you're not taxing the liver to make it that way. But are there things you can take that will increase your ability to methylate?
Yeah, absolutely are. And if you, I can even go, I have an article, well, not an article, but I even had a formula I'm trying to develop that basically is creatine plus methyl groups, and I could look it up. But there's also, yeah, there's about half a dozen different things that are very helpful to methylation. B12, as you said. I'm trying to remember. Creatine is another one. That's kind of the big one. But yeah. I can't, well, top of my head.
Another show. Let's save that for a show. How to enhance methylation. That could be a show by itself. But for the record, I just want to repeat this again. If you're a guy and your doctor says your homocysteine levels are too high and he recommends you take B12, abandon the B12. No, take B12. It's okay. But just take 5 grams of creatine every single day. And next time you go back, you'll go, oh, my God, your homocysteine levels are less than 1.1. You know, it's like magic. It really is. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I'd like to have you tell us what other new and exciting things you've learned about creatine lately that are ideally suited for a healthy aging of adults. How's that sound?
Right. Well, and I'll have the list of methylators up too. I'll pull those up because I want to get back to it. One thing about aging, as you know, Carl, no matter how much neuro stuff you take, your recall just is not what it used to be. I used to be a walking computer of pulling up studies, authors, when the study was published, so on and so forth. And it's definitely not that speedy recall is not what it was.
So it's interesting you say that. Make sure we talk about this on the other side of the break, okay?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Will Brink. Stay tuned. Are you ready to change the way you age? Of course you are. That's why you're here. Juvicell is a new, first-of-its-kind dietary supplement that includes 10 key research-backed ingredients shown in studies to support lifespan. Things like resveratrol, fisetin, quercetin, pterostilbene, sulforaphane, turmeric, all in a single dose. You may have some of these ingredients already, but Juvicell is the first to combine them all into a single product to support your lifespan. It's vegan, non-GMO, and sustainable. Live better, longer with Juvicell. Go to shrnetwork.biz/livebetter. Use code SHR and save 20% off today. Being superhuman means being conscientious about the choices we make. White Oak Pastures is superhuman when it comes to raising livestock. They're committed to animal welfare, land regeneration, and rural revival. They responsibly manage the entire process from the pasture to your doorstep. High quality, pasture raised, great tasting meat from a farm you can trust. Full nose to tail selections. They even have options for your pet. Go to shrnetwork.biz/whiteoak and use code SHR20 to save 20% off your entire first order. TaylorMade Health is focused on making sure you're able to perform and look your best. They are a leader in game-changing supplements and cosmetic products. Whether you want to increase strength, expedite recovery, facilitate soft tissue repair, or reduce deep wrinkles, TaylorMade Health has you covered. TaylorMade Health is also the home to Dr. Seed's products such as BPC, BPC Plus, and the Chill Pill. All of my listeners can now get 20% off their first order with code TRY20. That's TRY20. This code can even be used on subscription orders. Visit shrnetwork.biz/try20 today and use code TRY20 for 20% off your first order.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Did you notice how short the commercial was?
Yeah.
We've shortened up our commercial breaks.
I say. Yeah, it was.
My director of communications, Natalie Kapitsky, determined that our commercial breaks are too long. Mm-hmm. So we're shortening them up so that we get back on the air faster. Okay, talking about memory.
All right, before we go,
yes.
I looked it up quickly during the break. So betaine, HCL, vitamin B12, vitamin B6, folic acid, choline and CDP choline appear to be, and creatine, of course, appear to be the core methylating nutrients to take as far as methylation.
So are you going to come out with a product that has all that in it?
Yes, and I have one other. It's not a secret ingredient, but I have one ingredient I haven't mentioned that will increase brain creatine. It's important to note that the brain, typically because of the blood-brain barrier, is very resistant to allowing things through. And creatine's another one of them. Creatine, the normal doses we take in our 3 to 5 grams per day, doesn't raise brain creatine as much as we'd like. It seems to take, you need more, about 10 grams or so, to really bring the body tissue saturate at that 3 to 5 grams, but brain creatine does not get elevated as much as we'd like. And, I'm after I come out with, Alpha Joe, you know, maybe the next product, I'm talking to a company right now that's interested in it, but, it's difficult. You know, I do consulting work and R&D for different companies, and it's harder and harder these days to, you know, to get good products, which is, again, one reason I decided to come out with my own damn, you know, formula at this point. But yes, that would be in my basic methylating product.
Does creatine have an effect directly on mTOR?
It's a good question. I'm trying to think. I don't. Indirectly, I don't think directly it does. I mean, I believe indirectly it does because you work out harder, or you increase protein synthetic rates, and so forth. But, you know, that's a good question, which I probably should look into. I haven't, to be honest with you, as important as creatine is in terms of things like mTOR and protein synthetic rates, I actually spend most of my time, again, looking at the anti-aging aspects
right.
of it, you know?
Right.
It's like, so I guess sort of in that, can it gain muscle, lose? I already know it makes muscle. I already know it's good for sarcopenia, you know, all that. So to me, that's kind of like, okay, it does this thing. I know it does this thing. And now I'm more interested in these other things that I'm still trying to, you know, elucidate, i.e. mood and anti-aging and brain health. So I actually haven't looked into that one, but it's a good question.
The reason I asked you is we did a show a couple, 3 weeks ago, and one of the things that kind of was discussed in the show that I didn't know was that mTOR is responsible for memory formation. So memories are basically folded proteins, like peptides, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you make a memory, this protein has a syntax, and it has, you know, it has different amino acids in different places, and has a meaning, and that's put away in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
When you recall a memory, you're basically taking that protein out of where it was. You're unfolding it. You're reading it. But mm-hmm. then it requires mTOR to refold it and put it back.
Interesting.
And so, you know, there's this whole crush mTOR because it ages you faster bullshit going on today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, look, I take rapamycin once a week, 6 milligrams once a week.
Right.
But I am not like a metformin guy. I'm not like somebody who would just want, oh, I got to stop doing anything that turns on mTOR because I'm going to live forever. Because it not only will you not live forever, but you'll be crippled the longer
yeah.
you live.
And, yeah,
but more importantly, you're gonna end up with problems with your yeah. memory. Like, so that's why when you said about right. memory and us getting older, do you
yeah.
think that there's a chance that creatine could correct some of the inhibition to be anabolic and actually could help you save memory?
Well, I mean, studies on the brain, I mean, have suggested that in that there has been, I don't know about recall, but there has been studies, again, with creatine showing improved memory as far as spatial memory, reaction times, that type of thing. So in leading in that direction, it sounds, you know, like positive, yeah. I mean, obviously, there's different types of memory. Obviously, the long-term, short-term, you know, recall. And short-term is the one that, you know, as you get older, you have trouble with.
Right.
I don't have trouble with any long-term. It's the short-term. When somebody asks me a question, you know, I'll just blank and go, oh, shit. You know, and it stopped right there.
I did it earlier when I was trying to think of homocysteine. I kept thinking I kept thinking of N-acetylcysteine. I'm like, no, that's not what I want.
Well, mackerel. So mackerel just wasn't coming. You said tuna,
right.
and I should have been mackerel, again,
right.
you know, 10 years ago or 20 years ago. But, you know, it's a good question. We do know, though, there have definitely been studies that are suggestive of, yes, you know, the brain is such an energy-intensive organ. It's the most energy-intensive organ. It uses up most of your energy, most of your glucose, and it's very sensitive to any changes in energy that to reduce that energy levels on a cellular level is definitely going to reduce, you know, mental acuity and recall and mood and all that. So anything that I think improves that, but I don't think, and it's a good question, I might have to look into this, I don't think it's really working on the mTOR level, but it doesn't mean, again, that, you know, there's no individual systems. I mean, the longer you're in science, the longer you look at this, the longer you realize there is no such thing as an isolated system. Zero.
Right.
Not.
Right.
And in the medical, in the science world and in the Western medical world, you know, scientists are taught again to isolate systems, to look
right.
at systems in isolation. And that has led us to ignore the fact that they're all working together all the time. There is no isolated system.
In fact, that's an insult to the complexity of the human body.
It
it's
really
like
is.
Stupid,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. It is stupid. And I think, again, I think we're getting a little better about it. Now, Eastern medicine is kind of the opposite in that they see the body as a whole and the system as a whole, and they sort of almost go too far in that direction where, right, it's like, if it works, it works. We don't care how it works. Whereas on the West Coast, in the West, Western medicine, whether it works or not, we got to know how it works. We got to go find the pathway in the system. Whereas the East, so obviously the balance is somewhere in the middle, you know, the middle part there where, obviously, if something works, you got to know why it works, right? I mean, some of the Eastern philosophy, they don't care. As long as it works. We don't care how it works. So I'm sort of in the middle there. You know, if something works, I want to know how it works. And because that for I can actually maybe make it work better. Maybe I can enhance it. Maybe I can reduce the negatives of it. But, yeah, so in the you know, when I went to school and stuff, I mean, we were just looking at isolated pathways, you know, right, constantly.
Right.
And very few people, even many medical doctors that I know and work with, are able to make that leap, you know, outside of this one pathway that they know or they study or whatever to, you know, say, well, how does it interplay with X, Y, or whatever? And a lot of times they just can't do it. You know, that takes a certain mental structure to do too.
When you and I were young bodybuilder types, we used to take our creatine with some dextrose, generally like 60 to 80 grams of dextrose, maybe 40 to 60 grams of whey protein, and 100 to 200 milligrams of R-alpha-lipoic acid. And it was postulated back then that R-ALA could enhance muscle uptake of creatine because it may have been an insulin mimetic, and now we know it's not. It's more of a glucose clearing disposal effect more than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a CD4. I think it improves CD4 uptake.
Right. So, where are you with taking creatine with R-ALA?
I think it's still worth doing. I actually was just seeing. The funny thing about ALA is that the data again sort of has been around for a long time. It'll be data that makes the stuff look like miracle stuff, and then it sort of fades away for a while. It seems to be making a little bit of a comeback again. There was a recent study on ALA showing some benefit to
fat loss. I did. Yeah, I interviewed the author. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
it was targeted to visceral fat loss. Right. That was the interesting part. But go ahead, yeah. I'm sorry.
So it seems to be kind of making a comeback. There's a couple problems with ALA. One of them is just wickedly expensive. You know. And I think I try to tell people there's only so many things we can take, right? I mean, I take more supplements than most people do. ALA is good for you. They use it for peripheral neuropathy and stuff in other countries and in European countries and stuff. It's a very good antioxidant. So I'm pro ALA. I don't know if it's worth push comes to shove for the money you're spending. Is it worth adding to creatine? You know, that's one of those. How many things can you take? How many things do you want to take? How much money do you want to spend? I sort of break things down into, you know, how good is the data? How effective is it? What does it cost? And all that. So as you sort of check off those boxes, it's not really on the worth side, I guess, if that makes sense. If you don't care how many pills you got to take and what you want to spend, yeah, by all means.
We have a sponsor, and I got to do a shameless plug here. So we have a sponsor called Pure Nootropics, and they just put this together just for my audience. It's stabilized our ALA. It's bound to sodium, and they are like the generic approach to supplements. And so they actually offer my audience a 30% discount on this already really cheap form of R-ALA. They're 250 milligram caps. There's 60 of them. And if you go to shrnetwork.biz/pure and use the code SHR30, you can actually get a stabilized form of R-ALA really cheap. And I'm going to start using it because of the visceral fat component of it. That study, in fact, that study, I think it was show 2680 or 2608. That study prompted them to put this together for my audience. So it's out there.
Well, there's also interesting studies also on different isomers of ALA too. And there's that. And I was thinking of getting back to taking it also because my blood sugar is starting to, again, as we age, you know, our blood sugar starts to work. It starts to good. Mine's been starting to finally climb up, and I'm 55, and it's finally just starting this last year or so to go a little higher than I'd like it to be.
How old are you?
And 55.
Man, I'm older than you. I'm 62.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm always surprised to hear people's ages because it just I don't have any perspective. Older. I don't have any perspective on age. That's the thing.
No, I don't either. I'm 18 in my head.
Yeah, I know, right? I know.
I'm 18 in my head, and to me, the 90s were like yesterday. I still can't believe how when I talk about 90s, and people look at me like, "Wow, that was so long ago." To me, the 90s were, I don't know, just doesn't, you know, it doesn't feel that long ago. But
no,
I have started to notice, like I say, my blood sugar is starting to go up a little bit. Which, you know, again, as we get older, our tissues become a little less sensitive, and you know, it's only so much you can do about that. Until you need to like add something in or up your exercise or lower whatever you got to do. But I actually was just thinking about getting that back into my diet, more for the glucose disposal.
Try this the stabilized form. It's bound to sodium. It's supposed to be a superior form. You don't have to take as much of it.
Right.
So Bear wants to know, and there's another question I'll get up here too before the break. Bear wants to know, on that note, are there other supplements that have a synergistic effect with creatine? Where are you on things like beta alanine and creatine stacked together?
Well, there's different questions. There's one is synergism. That is two things that actually are greater than the some of their parts are greater together.
Right.
I think beta alanine and creatine should be a great combination. I don't know if there's synergism in the classic sense, but is there additional benefit, which is different than synergism?
Right.
Probably. Yeah. I think that's one of the beta alanine definitely looks like one of those worth. I've always put that in, you know, worth. And there are some. Anti-aging benefits to beta alanine too. You know, remember all the anti-aging people are real big on carnosine,
right?
But for some reason they won't take beta alanine. So what is beta? Carnosine is just beta alanine and histidine,
right?
And when you swallow carnosine, you
breaks apart.
It breaks apart, goes back together.
Right.
I've been trying to get anti-aging companies like I do life. You know, I do work for the Life Extension and stuff. You know, and they're big on carnosine, but I just can't get
there. And the irony is there's two really well done studies that show that beta alanine is the limiting factor in your body producing carnosine.
Well, and similar to they made them in the same studies, but there are studies that show that beta alanine increases tissue carnosine better than carnosine.
Yes.
Shit's sake.
Yeah, I know, right? I know. Do you think it's because we're bodybuilders and they're like, no, we don't want that. You know, that's the bodybuilding stuff.
You know, the thing about anti-aging types is, well, bodybuilders are pretty neurotic too, but anti-aging types take the OCD neurosis thing to a whole other level.
Yeah, no, you're right.
There was like one study that showed beta alanine caused taurine depletion in cats.
It does.
Right. Well, that's because cats don't make taurine. We do.
Right.
It's a non-issue.
And plus, that's easy to solve. Just supplement with taurine. Taurine is another great amino acid. What the hell?
Holy shit, right? What a revelation that is. That's what I do.
Right.
So, again, I proposed a product which was based on beta-alanine plus taurine if you're so damn worried about it. Anyway.
All right.
But, yes, you're right. So, yeah, taurine is dirt cheap. It's good for you. Actually, I voted taurine the most underrated amino acid of them all. It really is an underrated. That's a whole other conversation.
It's heart protective. It does so many good things.
Yeah, it really does.
Gerard Falzo wants to know, does cooking fish, meat, pork reduce the creatine?
Good question. I don't have a good answer to that one. It's pretty hearty stuff. I don't think you're going to damage it, but you know what? It's a good question. I don't know. I never looked into that one. I don't think that the creatine content changes substantially upon cooking, but it's a good question. I honestly don't know. I don't know if it's actually ever been studied, to be honest with you. And well, I guess I have to say the reason I'm not that interested, I don't have a great answer, is because in my view,
supplement.
So don't worry about it. I mean, so like again, we can only look at and worry about so much stuff, you know. And so whatever I can put away and not worry about and overtake my brain on stuff is like. This is why I don't know dates and holidays and stuff, because I only got so much room.
Find that somewhere. You know who was like that?
I just don't care.
Einstein. He couldn't remember his own phone number. And people used to joke with him. You're the smartest man in the world. You can't remember your own. He goes, because I can find it in a book somewhere. I don't have to remember it.
I didn't know my own mother's birthday nor my own father's birthday. I've been reminded of my own birthday on my birthday.
Right.
And so on and so forth. I don't give a shit about dates. I mean, so to me, I can only, you know, I only want to fill my brain with so much stuff. And so like I say, so that question to me, to get the amount of beef and herring and lamb and stuff you got to eat every day to get 3 to 5 grams of creatine is a lot. I could do the calculations, but it's more than you want to eat.
Right.
Hence, it's dirt cheap, it's safe, supplement, move on with other stuff to worry about. That would be my answer to that question.
Right.
I hope it doesn't offend anybody, but that would be the way to answer that question. You know?
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned. Share the show, please. Also, share our shows. You help people. Especially vegans. Stay tuned.
Especially vegan.
Especially vegan. Folks, I'm pleased to announce that Pure Nootropics is now carrying the antioxidant alpha-lipoic acid in its bioidentical natural form as R-Ala. R-Ala provides protection in many areas and has even been shown to promote weight loss. Check out the interview I did on episode 2608 back in October to learn more. Our friends at Pure Nootropics have been bringing you great products and deals since 2013, and they have another one with R-Ala. Go to shrnetwork.biz/pure and use code SHR30 for a whopping 30% off. Level up. Go Pure. The power of light can be truly life-changing and an important element for every superhuman. Because of this, I want you to experience the power of award-winning Saluma light therapy. Saluma utilizes NASA research technology to improve health at the cellular level and is cleared by the FDA to effectively treat a variety of pain, muscle and joint conditions, as well as facial wrinkles and acne. Our entire team here at Superhuman Radio uses it. Its innovative shape-taking design allows for easy placement anywhere on the body. Choose from 13 different models. For an exclusive listener discount, go to shrnetwork.biz/Seluma. That's C-E-L-L-U-M-A. And use code SHR10 to save 10% off of one of these award-winning devices, creatine.
Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. You know what I just realized? So recently I've been talking about, I got a couple of the business ventures that I'm working on, and I thought, you know, I would love this show to go on someday, but maybe not me hosting it. And the hardest part for me has been, how do I find somebody to host this show? You could host this show. Just a thought. Just a thought. I'm just saying that. Just saying that.
I did a podcast myself. Some years ago, and I did about 10 of them, I have to say. And you know, the problem, of course, is just, especially back then, it was just a lot of work. I mean, I enjoyed it. I had some good shows. And I enjoyed the process. It was a lot of damn work. You know, if anything, as you know, like doing what we're doing now, it takes a lot of prep, you know. And so this might be the hour we're doing a show or whatever, but as you know, it does take a lot of prep. And once I start getting a couple of the projects I need to get out of the way, one of them is Alpha Joe Coffee. Another one is if the 2020 and 2021, my two focuses were to get my fiction stuff off the ground, which is doing really well.
Right.
Because I do fiction. A lot of people don't know that. And Alpha Joe Coffee. And so once those two are kind of like running, doing their own thing, I will be open to other projects and doing other things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So Gerard Falzo wants to know, creatine before or after workouts, right? We always told to take it after workouts because
– Yeah.
But that's not true, is it?
No, it doesn't matter. Creatine, there's no real – nothing to – creatine has a chronic effect. It's a tissue level effect. So once you've gotten to the tissue levels – timing doesn't matter. Jose Antonio did a small study that found that taking it after workouts was just marginally better. I mean, just like a point above statistical significance. But for the most part, I mean, that's the surprise. Just you might as well take it then anyway. If you're going to take it during the day, put it in your protein drink. But as far as effect, it doesn't matter. Like I say, creatine is not like a stimulant. It doesn't do anything at a window you take it. Creatine is a chronic effect of increasing tissue creatine levels, so that effect is the same whenever.
Although when I do use it in coffee, which I do, and I have to be honest, I learned this from you a long time ago. You started talking about putting creatine in coffee years ago.
Yeah, and about 10 years plus I've been giving away this formula to people, which ended up being Alpha Joe, or ended up being Bomb Proof, which is now Alpha Joe.
Right, and so I started putting creatine in my coffee. Now, maybe it is just a placebo, but I feel like it definitely has a brain effect when you combine it with a little caffeine. Am I wrong about that?
Well, again, the data isn't there. To put on my scientist brain, I'm going to say the studies specific to combining them is not there. But it makes perfect sense, hence why I, you know, why I put it in my own formula, that there's definitely cognitive effects of creatine. That we have good studies on. Again, whether there's a combined effect of the two or a synergistic effect, I don't know. There is a synergistic effect of caffeine plus cocoa, which is in my formula. That's they're actually more effective together than they are separately. Is what do we mean by synergism? But yeah, it makes perfect sense to me. You would put it in your coffee.
So let's focus on the mood and brain effects to wrap up this portion of the interview, and then later, Will's going to share some things with us that he's really never shared with anybody else, and I'm excited to talk to him about this. So I remember the military did a study. They took some soldiers that had to work an overnight, and they gave one group a placebo, and one group they gave 5 grams of creatine. And the group that got the creatine had no problems with wakefulness and alertness or anything like that. And the other group, obviously working it overnight, they kind of were slower moving and a little tired. And some guys even fell asleep at their post. So how does that study weigh into the mood elevating effects? Because we know if you're alert, you're feeling good, you know?
Right.
What are the research points at that?
I'll give you a more interesting military study, but one of my favorites is with creatine. So they took a group of Navy SEALs and during winter warfare training, and one group got creatine, got 5 grams. I think it was 5 or 10 grams. The other group did not. They gave them mental tests, various tests, you know, recall, imaging, that type of thing, and they put them out into Arctic cold, and the brought them back and retested them. Well, only the ones that had the creatine tested exactly as baseline, same baseline. The ones that did not have creatine, as expected when you go out in the cold, were way off baseline, because when you're out in the cold, again, your neurotransmitters, your energy levels, your cellular energy level, your brain tissue levels are used up. And so even these guys at the top of their game, obviously they're very smart guys, they're, you know, sharp, they're on it. After winter warfare training, given creatine, they were actually able to do the same mental acuity task as they were at baseline. So that one to me is even more telling as far as like acute stress, you know, as an actual brain stress type nutrient.
What about the fact that some bodybuilders early on believed that continuing to take creatine during a cutting phase would not allow them to lose as much weight because it shifted substrate preference towards glucose? Do you remember that going around in the bodybuilding community maybe 10, 15 years ago?
I mean, a lot of them, the only ones I've ever heard that bodybuilders stopped using creatine pre-contest was the water. And, you know, it was the water. Maybe. But that's because, again, they were thinking that the water was under the skin, subcutaneous, and it's not. It's intramuscular. And there's no reason to stop taking creatine pre-contest. There's pictures of a bunch of guys that I worked with, you know, back in the day where, you know, shredded. But the only time I never heard of any substrate. So the only thing they used to say was, well, it holds water. And I want to get rid of the water. And
is there a possibility of taking too much and it spills over out of muscle and gets into sub-Q tissue?
Not that the studies, and there's been a handful of them, have always shown that the compartment, that is the water compartments, don't change. That is the same amount of water as far as ratio is the same as it was under the skin as it is in the muscle. So no, it shouldn't. There should be no spillover. I've never seen anything like that. And there has been, I'll bet, 3 or 4 studies that have looked at that. And they've looked, you know, doing pretty – they've even done with radio-labeled water, which is really sophisticated stuff. And found, like, say, the uptake is almost all intracellular. There's very little additional water sub-Q. So the answer should be no. Now, all right, so don't do 20 grams. I mean, again, to simplify this without taking the science away of it, you know, if you're worried about it, don't do 20 grams of creatine. You know, stick to your 5 to 10 amount. But there shouldn't be any – it'll preserve muscle.
Science shows that if you do 5 grams a day for like a month, you get the same tissue loading as if you do the 20 grams for 5 days.
That's why loading phase is out the window. Nobody does loading phases anymore.
Right.
That's old news.
I'm thinking that Dawn Mike Fenty Sheck is Dawn, not Mike. They must share an account. Lyme ate my muscles, getting integrative treatment, praying to get healing. I'm wondering if she's asking if there may be a place for muscle degenerative diseases like Lyme disease or even fibromyalgia. Is there a place for creatine?
Ah, now you have brought up a very important point that I even forgot, because I tell you, there's so many papers that come out that I can't even keep track of. And she has brought up a very important point that there was just a big paper out that found that creatine was a benefit in what they called post-viral syndrome.
Mm.
Obviously specific – now, obviously it's directed a little bit at COVID. However, again, they find that people that have been exposed to viruses show cellular energy dysregulation. And whatever that may be, whatever virus that may be. And so that's a really good point. I posted that paper on my Facebook page. So the answer is probably yes. It does appear to be a benefit in what they say. There's a general syndrome, a post-viral syndrome. I mean, a lot of people have experienced this, right? You've had the flu or whatever, and all the acute symptoms may be gone, but for months
you're sluggish as hell. Yeah,
you're just tired and dragging, and that is what may be. Now, for some people, that never goes away, and that's that brain fog, that's tiredness, that slowness. Now, and Lyme disease is famous for that. As of course, some of them, fibromyalgia is another one. They're not sure if fibromyalgia is a viral, you know, comes from viral exposure, but there's theories on that. But yes, creatine could be and should be of considerable benefit to what they call, viral, post-viral syndrome. And if you're just, chronic fatigue is another one. Nobody knows where it comes from. One of the main theories of chronic fatigue is that it's a viral, if you've been exposed to a virus at some point. And they do find like Epstein-Barr and stuff is very common to show up with people with chronic fatigue. So yeah, great question. And like I said, I'm glad you brought it up because that's another paper I had just completely forgotten about that I just read that just blew my mind.
So the mitochondria is exciting. We're mm-hmm. learning more and more about it. Does creatine do anything beneficial to mitochondria?
In fact, good question. There was a study that actually showed that creatine increased mitochondrial production, not just improved the function of mitochondria.
Biogenesis.
But actual biogenesis, yes. Thank you. Yes, actual biogenesis. Now, the thing is, when you look at all these different systems, aging, brain health, mood, under the hood, I mean, what is the common denominator under all this? It's as you're saying, it's something called cellular energetics.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the energy flux. It's called energy flux. The cellular energetics, the synergy status of a cell, all of them, is the key. I mean, that's like the bottom line to whether we get healthy, whether we feel good, whether we get ill or not. And you know, if a cell isn't, we're just a bundle of cells, right? So if a cell is not producing energy or is putting out the electron transfer chain, which basically moves electrons, is in that mitochondrial thing. And everything at the end of the day, if I was to like narrow it down to one thing that's sort of the common denominator, all this is cellular energetics. And that's a big area of study. And as you said, mitochondrial health, it's something called, as we get old, there's mitochondrial leakage, mm-hmm. again, where the mitochondria leaks electrons, it can't contain them. And so what that does is obviously the cell is not functioning, and it dies, you know, it goes apoptosis.
Well, it becomes a senescent cell.
Senescent cell, it gets a whole other, great, there's a whole other conversation. Yeah, senescence, I'm big on that one. It's the whole anti-aging thing is something I've been looking into because I'm getting older.
Yeah, I know, so, right? Yeah. Our focuses have changed, haven't they, Will?
Yeah. So I've taken cellular senescent meds. I've tried that. In fact, you're supposed to do them every 6 months. Disitinab and quercetin.
I take quercetin, ficidin, and that we have a sponsor that has a nice product. I use their product.
But there's a drug that you combine with it called disitinab, which is actually a cancer drug.
Well, yeah, it's a chemo, right?
Yeah,
disatinib. I pronounce it disatinib, but yeah, disatinib.
Well, you might be right.
Yeah.
But anyway, you're supposed to do that every 6 months. But yeah, so back to our question. You said, yeah, so there may be senescent cells. They may go apoptotic. Of course, then there's, of course, possible links to cancer. So yeah, absolutely. And under the hood, I think those nutrients that either support the mitochondria cellular respiration or stabilize it, because again, there's also a lot of issues where, again, that proton leakage, it's called electron leakage, is a big deal. But yeah, creatine is an absolutely key, maybe the key nutrient as far as biogenesis, as far as cellular energy levels, that type of thing.
This is so fascinating. So before we take this break, I want people to stay with me because Will is going to share some stories that he really hasn't told anybody before. And excuse me. And it arose from a discussion we had before the show. And I said, do people know this story? And he says, no, not really. So we're going to share a little bit. The other thing I want to say is, if you are listening to this show right now, regardless of when it is, 2 weeks after the show, and you want to see more of Will Brink on Superhuman Radio, email me at onair@superhumanradio.net, and I will give you a free box of tasty pastries from Legendary Foods.
Just do I get a free box?
Yeah, you'll get a free box, too.
You said, I want a free box.
Well, you have to email me and tell me if you should be back on the show.
All right, I'll do it.
All right, so there you go. This is an easy one. I want to know, do you want Will back on the show? And if you take, regardless of whether you say yes or no, I will send you a free box of tasty pastries.
I want to see the emails that say no, but send me a free box.
Yeah, that's what they're going to have to say. Say no, but send me a free box. And if you want to, I'll give you those so you could put a hit on them. And if you want to check out more of what Will is thinking about and writing about, go to brinkzone.com today. And keep an eye out at the website alphajoecoffee.com for the single best coffee you'll ever have. Take your coffee to an 11 with Alpha Joe Coffee. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Stick around. P3OM uses a patented natural process to upgrade a well-researched probiotic strain that doubles every 20 minutes once inside your body. The patent proves this strain is proteolytic, meaning it digests protein. It's antiviral, antiretroviral. It eliminates pathogens and waste and is maintainable in the human digestive system. What it does better than any other strain is fight the bad guys, bugs like parasites, viruses, and other pathogens, in your gut, and it doesn't require refrigeration. If you suffer from bloating, gas, indigestion, or you just need extra protection from viruses, aka bad bacteria, then I'd suggest trying this super single strain probiotic proven to wipe out bad bacteria. Go to bioptimizers.com/SHR to get a 10% discount coupon with code SHR10 and free shipping on all products. Or save even bigger by signing up to one of the plans to get as much as 38% off. That's bioptimizers.com/SHR. Creatine.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to RedconOne.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
Getting a massage post-workout is a proven strategy to facilitate better recovery. Getting to massage therapists can be difficult and expensive, especially in these times. The solution is the Meteor, a heated massage ball from Milestorm. Reduce pain and soreness and expedite recovery with the Meteor's research-backed vibration settings and therapeutic heat. It's convenient for travel and works on any body part. Go to shrnetwork.biz/Meteor and use code SHR15 for 15% off and free shipping if you buy two or more. Start recovering better today.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. I don't know if you saw the commercial placard, but I love this thing. This is my Myostorm Meteor. It's a massage ball. It's heated.
Right.
It has three different levels of vibration. So I use it for everything. I don't know if you hear that. I use it on the back of my neck. I use it on sore muscles. But I gave myself a testosterone injection last week, and I went a little too far towards the knee on the quad. Mm-hmm. And right. Because I put 2 cc's in, it was a lot for that small muscle area. Well, I had pain and soreness for 2 days. And then I thought to myself, I wonder if this would work. I put this thing on it with the heat, and I just rolled it around on my naked leg for a while. And the next morning, the pain was gone. And I think
the heat part, especially.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one that, this is the greatest invention in the world. I take it with me wherever I go. I put it in the crook of my back. It wakes me up. I put it on the top of my head right before a show, and the vibration kind of wakes my brain.
Do you have to heat it up, or do you push a battery?
No. It's got a vibration setting.
Right.
And then it's got a heat setting. You just turn that on, and the ball gets hot.
Yep. Now, I like the heat part because I use like balls and stuff, like I'll roll on them, but the heat part would be the game changer because I've got wands and all kinds of stuff. But heat is a huge difference. You know, so when you go to chiropractor, so they put the heat pads on you before they adjust you because it loosens up all the muscles and all that.
Right.
So, yeah, I like that.
So it's $149, but you can win one of five. We're giving away five to five lucky listeners. If you go to shrnetwork.biz/freemeteor, all you got to do is enter your email address and you're entered to win. So check it out, man. This thing is amazing. Yeah. So let's get back to – so Will and I kind of have a similar story, but just at different points in our lives. And we found physical culture because we kind of were broken a little bit. Talk about how you – why you even – I mean, you trained at the Mecca of bodybuilding back in the day when Arnold was there. How did you end up becoming a physical culturist, a bodybuilder?
Well, I was – so here's – I've mentioned this a little bit over the years, but now that I'm older and don't care, but, you know, back in the day, you know – to have any sickness or whatever, you know, when you was a sign of weakness, right? And even if it wasn't your fault, you get hit by a car or whatever. So I've never really talked about this. I mean, my friends know, and I just, you know, I'm not the kind of person. Again, we're from Brooklyn. You know, you tough it out, right? We don't wear our problems on our sleeves here, right?
Right.
So how I got into the whole bodybuilding thing. I mean, I was lifting weights. I was about 20 years old. I was lifting weights, but I mean, just casually. I was going to college. I was majoring in psych and journalism, and I got Hodgkin's disease. I get cancer of the lymph nodes. And, you know, I'm 20 years old. I eat pretty well. You know, I take a multivitamin, and I'm like, what the fuck? You know, right. I mean, I thought that's all you had to do not to get sick, right? But beyond that, I didn't really know anything. I just knew what everybody knew in the gym. I lifted my weights. That was it. And now I've got Hodgkin's disease. I'm 20 years old, you know, and I had to get treated. I had radiation, you know, which reason I've got a lot – again, people like to make fun of people or say shit about people and they don't know anything about their physical – people like make fun of my – now, I have pictures from older pictures. I used to actually have a really big neck. That was like my strong body part.
Right.
But a bunch of nerves were cut when I had the operation. All a bunch of nerves were cut when they took out this lymph node. And so I don't have a – I can't really innervate. I can't flex.
Right.
So the treatments and all that, you know, the treatments really messed me up. You know, I had high-dose radiation from about here to here. So I have no thyroid. My thyroid was destroyed.
No,
I
got to
take the thyroid. I have a stent in my heart. I never told anybody that. So what happened from the radiation, this scar tissue built up in my heart. I've got scar tissue in my lungs. I've got a stent in my heart. What else is wrong with me? that's most of it. You know, so I mean the radiation, frankly, if I had known what I know now then, I wouldn't have done it. I would have taken my chances. The cancer that I had was very much encapsulated in that one lymph node, and they didn't think it went anywhere. But just in case.
Yeah, I know, just in case.
Just in case, we're going to radiate the fuck out of you for the next 2 months. And I didn't know any better. I'm 20 years old. This is, you know. So when all that was over, you know, and my health was you know, pretty beaten down, that's when I really got into the interest of science and health and vitamins. And I was reading an article, in fact, in Muscle and Fitness, and there was an interview with Dirk Pearson and Sandy Shaw. Remember Dirk Pearson and Sandy Shaw?
Yeah.
Well, Sandy Shaw had a very rare cancer in her – it was a salivary cancer, like unbelievably rare.
Right.
And he said that she during the radiation treatment, she took vitamin C and vitamin E in high doses to avoid being burned. So I did the same thing. And the doctor said to me, you know, look, you're going to get really, really burnt and your skin's going to get red. And I said, well, okay, I'm taking the C and the E to prevent that. And you know what? Didn't happen.
You didn't get burned.
And the doctor, I got a little red. I got a little suntan, basically.
Right.
But I didn't get that red. And the doctor, now, of course, what did the doctors tell me? I had nothing to do with
it. I know. I was going
to
say.
Nothing to do with it. Yeah. Nothing to do with it.
Right.
And I'm like, you guys all warned me that I was going to get burnt to shit. I'm going to be all red and dying. And so... Now, in retrospect, I wouldn't have done that because, in fact, you actually don't want to take high dose antioxidants during treatment. But that's another.
But the reality is that you really didn't have anything metastatic going on. So
So Exactly. But had I had, I mean, it could have been a problem.
Yeah,
but
you could have promoted the cancer to grow, right.
So for me, here I am, proof of concept. So now I have no science background. I'm interested in fitness like everybody else. I graduated college. I went and lived with my father for a year to recuperate my health, honestly. And then I went back to school, you know, for sciences. I said, you know what? I'm going to go back to school and I'm going to do pre-med. I thought I might be a doctor, but I went and did all the pre-medical sciences. I am then a bunch more. I mean, I've got enough credits to be for two master's degrees. I've gone to four different colleges. I'm one of those eternal learner types who never. I finally finished my DNY one stupid little degree, but I've got enough credits probably for two master's degrees at this point. So what set me into the really put me in down the rabbit hole of health and fitness and all that was that illness that and I'm still dealing with, like I say, because I've got scar tissue in my lungs. I have to take thyroid meds every day. My thyroid was, you know, destroyed by the radiation.
And, well, and I got to tell you something. Your lifestyle is evidence that it works, that you actually were able to mitigate some of the really horrible effects of radiation. So whenever women have breast cancer and it's the left breast and they get radiation, they all end up with heart problems. They all end up with heart problems because that radiation destroys heart tissue.
And here I am.
I know. That's my point. Yeah. So obviously physical culture saved your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the sad thing about it, nobody told me. Nobody sat me down and said, hey, you know, you need to keep an eye on your heart because in about, you know, 10 years or whatever, you know, this causes. Nobody gives you any warnings. Nobody says anything to you. You know, you have to learn this for yourself. I started to have palpitations. And again, as you said, I go in and the doc said, you know, the reason you didn't drop is because you're in such good shape overall.
Right.
He said, you should, because of the heart, the scar tissue, you know, that the limited blood that you have going through that once, he said, you should have fallen over. How you drove yourself here, I don't know.
Right.
He said, but I'm putting it down to your peripheral cardiovascular system is so healthy that you were able to adjust and get yourself here. So I go down there and I get a, you know, MRI and all that. And he said, you know, you've got scar tissue that's closing up because of the damage that was done to your heart. And we're going to have to put a stent in. So, yeah, I've never talked about any of this to anybody.
It's fascinating. Even, it's fascinating.
A good handful of my friends to have no knowledge of any of this. And it's, so again, it's not like, say, I we're old school. I guess we're old school. We're from Brooklyn. I'm a Northeastern Yankee. I mean, we just, you know, you'd have to ask me or
we don't talk about our problems as a rule.
No. So beyond my immediate family, you know, I've never really talked about it. No.
Right.
And I have to say that back in the day when you're younger and you're in bodybuilding and that's your bread and butter.
People to know that you have
a
weakness.
You don't want people to know. No. Right. You know, and the same thing with animals, right? If an animal gets injured and stuff, you know why animals don't show it, right? If your cat or your dog or whatever breaks a leg, you notice they don't show it. Why? Because you get eaten.
They become prey.
You're prey, right.
And we spent more time in that world than the last, you know, what, 40, 60,000 years that we've spent in this world.
Again, we think we're above all that stuff, but we're not. We're just barely out of that realm. And I think it is the same in the human realm, that to show weakness of any kind, whether it's your fault or not, it doesn't matter. You're a prey.
Look what people used to do back in the days if they had a sickly child. They would hide them because they thought that it would cast a shadow on all of the family, that there was weakness and frailty in the family.
It did, or they'd kill them, or whatever. I mean, you used to throw them up, you know, they used to throw them right off a cliff.
Yeah,
but having a kid with any sort of disease that was not their fault was a sign of weakness, poor family bringing. So, these are things I never really talked about. But when people ask me what got you into the health and fitness, you know, what made you so interested in that, that's what changed my entire life. I was just, you know, I lifted weights, but that probably would help me. But I would have gone on to probably be, I don't know, what, a journalist or whatever, at the time. That's why I went down that rabbit hole.
You can visit the Brink Zone at brinkzone.com to read all of the amazing things that Will writes about. And you can keep an eye out at alphajoecoffee.com. Take your coffee to an 11. It will be released shortly, so keep an eye on that. And if you want more Will Brink on Superhuman Radio, I'll have him on more often. We'll do interviews. He's got fascinating stuff to talk about. He's a wealth of knowledge, highly respected. I'll have him back on, but you got to make it happen. You have to email me at onair@superhumanradio.net and say you want more Will Brink, and I'll even reward you for taking the time to email me, and I'll send you a free box of tasty pastries. Can't guarantee the flavor, but I'll send you a free box. So that's it. That's it for today's show. Will, thanks for being here today, brother.
Thanks, Carl.
We'll do it again
soon.
And that's it for me. I'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman. Oh, Eddie Gallagher is going to be on the end of this month. Eddie Gallagher, the Navy SEAL.
The SEAL, right. Okay, I thought I was going to say, is that – okay, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so Eddie Gallagher, Eddie Gallagher's coming on. We're going to talk – well, he's going to do an episode of Fathers and Sons. I got his new brass knuckles. I bought them. See, I have a carrier's permit, so I can carry them. It's a
knuckle dusters, remember? That's what we call them in Brooklyn.
I had a pair that I bought in Easy Rider magazine, but then my son, when he was about 12 or 13 years old, he took them out to show a friend, and somebody clipped them. But I don't know if you can see what the back of the knuckles say. I can't.
I can't read it.
They say, fuck around and find out.
All right.
But these are Eddie Gallagher original brass knuckles. And he'll be on this month.
You better be careful of that cancel culture, Carl, talking that honesty these days.
Listen, I'm not a popular guy to begin with. So they can't take much away from me. If I lose two, who am I going to lose? I'm not Mark Bell. I'm not, you know, Dave Asprey. I don't have that audience. So I don't have to worry about it. All right, look, we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for being here. Take care, Will. Talk to you later.
See everybody.